So first things first, my brothers and sisters, there is good news in the readings today. Good news that Jesus comes into our world to lay down his life so that we might have life through him. So that he might share our death so that we can share his resurrection from the dead. This is good news. This is important for us to know this message of hope. It is the manner with which Jesus lives his life among us and lays his life down for us, which also teaches us something about what we are supposed to do. It's very clear, the prophet Isaiah, the prediction of the passion, of what the suffering servant will endure. The letter to the Hebrews, I believe, the second reading, that we have a high priest, not one that is exempt from the difficulties of life and the challenges and the temptations, but one who has come and entered into our everyday and has suffered in our life with us, who then, therefore, because of it, has a compassion for us that others in the world do not possess. So we have no fear of approaching the throne of grace because we have a high priest who knows what our life is like because he entered into it. Again, all good, awesome, great news. And then we get to the gospel text and we see James and John asking about chairs. And whose guest card is sitting where and at what seat. And Jesus reminds them, this is not what the kingdom of God is about. It is about following him. He called them to be as he. Being called to service, to lay down his life, he called his apostles to do exactly the same thing. It is a beautiful thing, my brothers and sisters. Does Jesus know who he is? All right, sounds like a silly question, right? You're like, well, yeah, of course, he's God. He knows who he is. Darn right, he knows who he is. He knows who he is, that he is the Son of God, the Beloved One. He remembers when the clouds were torn open and the Holy Spirit descended upon him and the voice of the Father said, "You are my Beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." He remembers too in the Mount of Transfiguration when again the voice of the Father is heard, "You are my Beloved Son." Jesus knows who he is. Why is this important? Because he knows who he is, and so he can humble himself. He knows who he is. He knows his dignity, his worth, his royalty, his divinity. He knows who he is, and because of it, his actions can be actions of humility. What happens to humans, my brothers and sisters? Well, he gives the example in the gospel text. He says, the rulers of the Gentiles, when they have authority, what do? They use it so that everybody else knows that they are the ruler. They make their authority over everyone else felt. You know what? There's some children in the room. What the Gentiles used to do, the kings and stuff, when they would conquer another king, they would remove these and force them to crawl around on the floor in their palace as they ate and to eat the scraps that fell off their table. And they would fight for it, and they would remove these, so they would have to eat like almost like an animal. They would remove their thumbs. Well, we got to know who won. We got to know who's in charge. You know, what good is authority if you don't make it known? There is a lot of insecurity in that, my brothers and sisters, isn't there? Jesus, who is absolutely secure in his identity, is able to wash the feet of his apostles. An action that a Jewish slave would never do. He humbles himself below the lowest of servitude. And he can do it confidently, with joy, because he knows who he is. He knows by doing it, he's not going to lose who he is. He gives us excellent example. He gives to us a beautiful example of one who humbles himself and not once loses any of his dignity. He is the high priest, the one, you know, we put it into the context of our Jewish roots. He is the high priest, the one that enters into the Holy of Holies to make atonement for the people year after year. He is the one. And yet he humbles himself time and time and time again. Because he knows who he is. So how does this gospel apply to our life? My brothers and sisters, do you know who you are? I'll say that a little differently. Do you know who you are in Jesus Christ? Do you know who you have become? Do you know your value, your dignity, your worth? Do you know your destiny in the good news, in the story of salvation? And I dare say, my brothers and sisters, if we know the truth about who we are and we've claimed that, there's still even more to come, because Paul even reminds us that what we know of who we are now is this, but when we see God face to face, we really have no idea what we will become in that moment, because we will become like the one on whom we look upon. We will become like him. Why is it important, my brothers and sisters, to remind ourselves of our dignity and our worth in Jesus Christ? Because the world needs us to follow Jesus' humility. What keeps us from doing humble actions of service to others? Is it below us? I am grateful for the example of my parents. I'm not afraid to scrub a toilet, even after ordination. I am grateful for their example to me. My brothers and sisters, if we know who we are, we will have no problem humbling ourselves in service of our brothers and sisters. You know, and it's not just for our Christian walk, like outside of our house. This is about knowing your identity as husbands and as wives, as mothers and as fathers. Knowing who you are in relationship, having confidence in that call, confidence in that vocation. What does that allow you to do? It allows me to humbly serve the other without fear of being taken advantage of. Because I know who I am. And he knows who I am. Or she knows who I am. So there is something great in our imitation of Jesus here. It's not just an imitation to our death and our cross. Because there's something here that reinforces Jesus, that bolsters him, and that is his identity and knowing who he is. And because of that, he doesn't have to prove a darn thing to anybody. And look through the Gospels. You know, we demand a sign. You need to do this. You need to do that. And what does he do? He walks off by himself and heals the person alone. He doesn't have to prove himself to anyone. He doesn't have to dress a certain way or act a certain way in order to prove that he is the Son of God, the Son of Man, the one, the Messiah that comes into the world. He is. And so he is free. He's free, my brothers and sisters. And that's a beautiful freedom for us as well. If we know our dignity and worth, the value we possess as beloved sons and daughters of God who have entered the waters of baptism, have the promise of resurrection as a part of our destiny, then, my brothers and sisters, we will be free as well. Free to humbly serve each other without the fear of it somehow taking away who I am. That's the invitation Jesus has for James and John and for all of his apostles. Isn't this beautiful, my brothers and sisters? It's good news. This is great news. We are free. We are free to do the most menial task in love for each other, because your dignity and worth is set because of your life in Jesus Christ. In fact, it was set at the beginning when you were created as well, and has only been more greatly revealed to you in what Jesus has done for you. May we bear witness to this joyful freedom to the world that is caught up in every kind of insecurity of self, in their clothes and their cars and their homes and their actions that they do and the parties that they have and the friends that they possess. There's so much insecurity in the world, and they are not free. We are free. Let us demonstrate our freedom to the world. Amen.